To Irene, Nancy, and Yvonne, best of the best. 1. Philomena Amesbury, Phil to her friends, the Countess of Dunbridge to everyone else, handed her armful of packages to the footman of the Plaza Hotel and stepped out of the red Dirac taxicab.
Lovely day, isn't it, Mr. Fitzroy?
The doorman, dressed in the full fawn and gold braided livery of the plaza, smiled and looked dubiously at the gray clouds that overcast the sky.
Indeed, Lady Dunbridge. Did you enjoy your morning of shopping?
I did. Everyone is so festive.
Of course, there had been that unsightly shoving match between two ladies over who went first up the escalator at Bloomingdale's, and the disappointing moment when the proprietor at the little bookstore across the street had informed her that he'd sold his last copy of the latest Arthur Conan Doyle novel, which she had been hoping to buy as a present for her butler, Preswick. A misstep on her part. She shouldn't have waited until 10 days before Christmas to reserve a copy. But after 6 months in Manhattan and 3 at the plaza, she was still learning her way in a place where countesses did things for themselves.
There are more packages in the taxi, and even more being delivered, if you'd please have them stored until I call for them.
Yes, Lady Dunbridge.
Mr. Fitzroy nodded to the bellman, who reached into the taxi and took the remaining packages into the hotel. The taxi drove away, and Phil took the opportunity to look across the street to where a small boy hawked his newspapers at the entrance to Central Park. He had designated himself as her small but vigilant lookout, and who went by the sobriquet of Just a Friend. Phil waved, though he wasn't looking her way. He was wearing a new scarf and mittens to add to the winter coat Preswick had bought him a few weeks before. Her butler might be a tad old-fashioned in his ways and a bit long in the tooth, but he had a heart warmer than the bag of chestnuts nestled inside her purse. Oh, the freedom of leaving England, with its peerage and restrictions, for America, where she could come and go as she wished at any time of the day and be whatever she wanted. If it hadn't been for the Earl dying and leaving her a dowager at 26, and her last rather public indiscretions with a certain Frenchman, she would never have known the excitement of life in Manhattan. Well, to be honest, there had also been that little incident of a murder that she'd inadvertently solved, and that had made all the major newspapers, much to her father's chagrin. Her father might look the other way at affaires de cœur and other minor eccentricities by his daughter, but he wouldn't stomach her hobnobbing with the Metropolitan Police. He'd intended to pack her off to Great Aunt Sophronia in the wilds of Yorkshire, hence Phil's quickly organized trip to the New World. And, as it had turned out, that one little involvement with the London police had done much to ensure her success in New York, for there was no one people admired more than someone with a title who could solve their most dastardly crimes while keeping their family secrets locked in her breast, and a few others locked in the safe in her apartment upstairs. Phil headed toward the bank of bronze elevators, where Egbert, her favorite operator, nodded and gestured her inside the cage.
"Lovely day, Lady Dunbridge," he said in a
melodious voice that always sounded like a song.
"Indeed, Egbert. Do you think we'll have snow for Christmas?"
"Perhaps."
Phil opened her handbag and pulled out a brown paper cone of chestnuts.
"I thought you might enjoy these."
"Ah, roasted chestnuts. Thank you."
Egbert quickly slipped off one white glove and took them from her.
"Make sure you enjoy them while they're still hot," Phil said.
He slipped them into his pocket and slid his hand back into his glove just as they reached the fifth floor. He opened the gate and waited for her to reach her door and let herself inside. All was quiet. She'd given her maid, Lily, and Preswick the day off to do their own shopping and to enjoy the festivities of the city. This would be their first Christmas as a household, and they were all looking forward to it. Preswick, after a rough start, had taken to life in Manhattan.